Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
At noon, the Celtic underworld ruled over by the fairy king Gwynapnod. In legend, it is from his mystical domain the Wild Hunt issues forth, and those unfortunate enough to encounter this ghostly procession can have their souls carried back to the fairy kingdom. One of the entrances to this chthonic realm is said to lay beneath the sacred and picturesque site of Glastonbury Tor. An impressive cultural site in the English county of Somerset that, historians surmise, has seen continuous human occupation dating back to prehistory. One of the reasons that this site has held such significance from pagan cultures even up until Christian settlement is thought to be that the large conical hill sits on a nexus of mysterious earth energies. These energies are claimed to pervade the entirety of the English countryside as well as connect other ancient and sacred sites throughout the world. This case file, join the theorists as they connect the dots and douse for answers concerning ley lines.
I fucked it up, didn't I? How does he do it? Where's Braden?
I mean, listen, we might as well just get this out of the way. All right? Here's the truth. The ego got too big. He wanted too much. We wouldn't give it to him. And he started his own show. He's gone.
No. Actually, what happened is he forgot to clean his barbecue.
He burned to death.
He tried to, you know, warm it up, try to cook it, open the lid. It exploded. He is pretty much looks like Darth Vader now, and he will never be back on the show.
Well, you're right. He was burned to a crisp, third degree, 90% of his body surface. And then he still had the strength to try and fan out the flames. And then he broke his neck with a towel trying to fan it like last time.
That's a true story.
In the arms of the angel. Recipe.
We signed him up for the Dark Man procedure.
Anyways.
Nice.
This is the Braden.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 239.
Yell directly into the mic.
Ley lines or some shit.
Get laid lines.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
And yeah, Braden is burned to a crisp. And maybe you'll never see him again. No, it's actually his mom's 60th birthday. So we gave him the night off to go to dinner with his old mama there.
Family comes first.
And she does listen to the show every once in a while. So... happy birthday, Lori.
Happy birthday, Lori.
Unless you'll ever listen to this one.
Lori, hopefully you got plenty over-the-shoulder knife holders for your birthday. I really wanted
one of those. Thank you, Lori, for dealing with that gigantic man baby for 30 years.
She's got two of them.
Two of them.
There's two of them.
She's a fucking trooper. Mr. Conspiracy and Braden, both in the same house. Oh, I can only imagine.
I'm surprised she made it to 60. That's amazing. That's an accomplishment.
Anyways, this week we're talking about ley lines.
Ley lines.
Boys, I didn't even crack the books for this one. I know all about them. All right. I've seen all the commercials.
Right.
I had a sleepover once in like ninth grade where we actually called one, charged my buddy's grandma's, you know, credit card. It was perfect.
$29 a minute.
Yeah. It was great.
Fantastic.
Hey, Andrew, how are you doing?
Are you lonely? I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm staying in.
Well, yes,
talking to weirdos on the phone.
The topic of ley lines comes up. It's more of a new age idea, but it's a we're going to get into it, but pretty much the modern is, it's like more of a metaphysical, spiritual term that kind of connects a lot of ancient sites with just kind of like, you know, how I feel like in yoga and meditation, like your body chakras, the ley lines, I guess you would consider them like the earth's chakra points.
Namaste.
But Dan, how do we, where do the ley lines come from? Where's the term?
Well, I suppose everybody who's in the esoteric circles, as we are involved in that kind of subject matter, probably knows ley lines or hears about ley lines. And it is the grid of earth energies, which are telluric or geomagnetic or magical, spiritual, some type of kind of nature of that some kind, which usually are associated or actually running directly through certain sacred sites. It could be standing stones. It could be usually you have them associated with places like Stonehenge. People will reportedly draw lines on maps that connect to the Egyptian pyramids all the way over to the Great Wall of China. Any type of large mysterious structure that has been built.
Machu Picchu, Teotihuacan, Chichen Itza, yep. All those.
Tenochtitlan, any of those places. People would argue that there are ley lines that run through there and that
Disneyland
right? Could very well be.
I actually looked up some ley lines in Canada, and Calgary, Alberta is at a cross-section of ley lines. I don't know what...
I was just there.
I don't know what the power that it brings to Calgary.
I'm telling you.
Bad weather and...
All that power from those ley lines still couldn't make Alberta a cool place. Still sucked.
Right, and there's also something, there's a ley line that actually runs directly through the studio, right through my forehead here, approximately. I think I'm going to move one way or the other. But it is actually the only way this podcast got successful, if you didn't know. How else could four duds... get listens.
Are we calling this successful? Hey,
we got a couple thousand downloads.
That can also explain the hairlines, maybe. Just like a little bit of like you know, side effect of the ley lines.
There's too much energy running through our bodies that our hair, it's almost like a radiation sickness, actually, I believe.
Absolutely.
It's a trade-off.
Everything. Sacrifices we make to put out a good product for you.
You're welcome.
Equal exchange. It has to work. This is Full Metal Alchemist rules. It's equal exchange. Now the idea of ley lines, that kind of the idea, like Zell has previously mentioned, is that this idea of these energy lines running throughout the earth, forming certain, some people would say sacred geometric shapes and whatnot. That idea is relatively new. The idea of having some type of lines or paths that move between certain places and that are marked by certain supernatural happenings, like that idea goes back, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years. I mean, even in the 1800s, you had people in the British Isles who actually believed in things like fairy paths, which were trails that connected certain hilltops in the countryside. And these places, a lot of folk around those areas and these villages would consider these places very, you know, potentially dangerous. That if you were traveling down these paths and you were caught unawares or, you know, just kind of wandered into one and unintentionally, you could potentially be, you know, snatched up by some fairy spirit and taken away. And so it's not the idea of having these undercurrents of energy or spiritual happenings, things is not new.
Like, and they were everywhere too, right? Because I remember reading, I think China called them dragon lines.
Dragon lines.
Yep. And then you had spirit lines.
Yes.
Like North America.
And the Aboriginal people in Australia had their own name for them. So like cultures all around the world had these had a name for this energy.
Australia doesn't exist.
South Africa, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems like transcendent cultures, like this idea of like an energy line. Not necessarily, they never say like a grid, but like a line connecting sites, I guess. I mean, it kind of goes with like, if you go the other side, like a straight line is the best way to get from point to point. So it makes sense that lines, like these lines go straight rather than like zigzag all across.
Yeah, and setting aside the entire, the current definition of what we, the popular definition that we that we set as ley lines. The original idea of ley lines, like the originator of this idea, the person who kind of coined the term ley lines was Alfred Watkins, who was an actual landscape photographer in Herefordshire, who actually noticed that there were certain ancient sites that seemed to line up with others in the nearby area. So Watkins, who was used to work for his, I guess he was a, his family had a mildly successful, like a several businesses that they ran. They had a flour mill, a hotel, a brewery, apparently. And Watkins was always tasked as kind of being the outrider for the business. And he would represent the business on his, you know, he'd leave out their village. And then he would travel around the countryside, you know, drumming up business for their business. And in doing that, he took up he had a pretty successful career as a photographer, like a landscape photographer. I think he actually invented like an entirely new method or system for like light exposure and things like this. So he took a lot of really great pictures. And while he was doing this, naturally, he came upon the multitude of, I guess you could say, like these standing sites, the hill barrows and all these places that kind of that are spotted all over the
stone circles and all that stuff over. It's pretty much like the United Kingdom is where
anywhere like the British Isles, like you have just tons of this stuff since the place has been, you know, it's been inhabited for thousands of years and you have pretty much all of these things. But he noticed that certain sites, certain points of interest lined up in like certain long straight lines for miles. And he got this idea that perhaps that there was some significance for this this alignment. So he would kind of look at the prominent features of the landscape, and you know, this would include things like the standing stones, like you said, stone circles, barrows, mounds, hill forts, earthworks, ponds, like man-made ponds, anything that was kind of either pre-Reformation churches, things like this, any of the places that you could pretty much fine in his travels. And he would see that all of these lines connecting these ancient sites seem to represent routes that perhaps people had traveled in prehistoric times. And so he felt like that there's some kind of underlying significance to this, whether it was
trade or some type of like a religious rites or something like that. Like he didn't necessarily go right to spirituality kind of style, right. But.
And so he had these, he coined the term ley lines to describe these alignments. And he used the word ley because he noticed that the Anglo-Saxon word for ley, which meant like a clearing of woods. And you had a number of towns and villages that actually had like ended in the word ley or began, had the L-E-Y at the beginning or the end of their name. So they always seemed to like line up on those lines. So he found that that was kind of something interesting. Now that we have that kind of idea that was set out, it became a bit like popularized to go out and find these lines, since you could pretty much find them anywhere in the British Isles. Like we said, like the British Isles is notorious for their amount of just like cultural sites all over the place.
Riddled with like ancient sites like that. Like everyone knows like Stonehenge, but there's hundreds, if not thousands of smaller, similar sites.
Right, just like little tiny areas with, you know, strange looking stones or stones that have been arranged, intelligently. And a lot of these sites, they have no idea what they used them for. Like the use for these or what the intention of the builders were for some of these sites has been lost to history. And we have no idea why the people put some of these things where they put them. And so the kind of idea is trying to figure out like why would you put something there? Why would you move these rocks? Some of them are huge. Some of them, you know, it's not something that you like, okay, I picked up a stone and carried it from wherever. Some of these stones are, you know, the size of a person, and you moved them into these areas and you just put them there. And like, why would you do that?
So like these people are at this point. So after he coins the term ley lines, the word gets out and it's like almost like people go like ley line hunting, seeing what type of connections they can do.
Ancient Pokemon Go. People are just out there fucking.
Yeah, getting people out there. Yeah, yeah. That's a really good comparison.
Grab a survey map, a pencil, like one of those little compasses, and a ruler.
And a Pikachu while you're out there.
Yeah,
yeah. Try and pretty much try and find the straightest line through as many of the sites as you could, and then kind of try and deduce why those all seem to be in a straight line.
I mean, yeah, and this whole idea received considerable attention, and they even formed an actual organization called the Straight Track Club in 1928. And this was actually like a kind of a refined...
Slowest track club around. Most unathletic.
This was pretty much a group of, people who consider themselves refined Nerds. And educated, and they would go out in groups and go out and visit some of these notable ley lines. You know, you go out there for a day, you know, have your picnic, or even pose for Watkins's photographs. So
it's a finer things club.
Yeah, yes, it's quite.
Yeah. Yes. I find myself a line.
And then, so you had this entire thing, but it seems that interest kind of waned into the lead up to the Second World War. So you kind of had this idea, like the ley lines of these tracks, kind of everything kind of, you know, I mean, you're involved in an entire global war. So, I mean,
it's amazing to me that they would start an entire world war just to distract us from ley lines. Mm. It's amazing.
That was the original reason that the First World War.
That makes sense.
Now, didn't Watkins actually find that there was a type of like pine tree that seemed to grow along the ley, and it kind of like marked, it seemed to mark like the line.
Right. Like Watkins made the observation that there were a disproportionate number of Scots pine trees, a type of pine trees. And he found these on these ley lines, and he kind of made the deduction that, or tried to make the connection that these were actually the descendants of trees that had originally been planted there in order to mark the ley line.
Oh, cool.
Well, I mean, so it would make sense kind of if there was like an ancient civilization, and it was, so like the direct, they try and say in the distance, there's a feature, there's a hill, a mound. They try and go as straight as they can through there. They clear the way. I don't know. It kind of makes, because if you look with our road building, we will choose trees and we'll plant them along the side of the highway. This is like part, it's mainly for landscaping for us, but maybe for them, it's like, okay, we'll just know if we plant this row of trees, even if it gets overgrown or it's not used for a few years, we can kind of, it's kind of marked. It's kind of what it seems like to him, at least.
That was his kind of overall theory, was that these paths, you know, not necessarily having the entire New Age view of it, but like his was a very much a practical view of these alignments, saying that these places where, you know, they would include like places of higher elevation. So you assume that these ancient civilizations, these ancient cultures that inhabited the land would use these alignments to kind of get from place to place. Like you'd be able to get up on top of a hill, you'd be able to look down and be like, okay, I need to go, you know, using pretty much line of sight, and then being like, okay, we're going to move here, go here, and then, you know, be able to find your way and not get lost. And so, yeah, it's a lot of that. And there's a lot of good stuff that, like we said, the straight track line, the straight track club kind of came out of it. There's actually some other like archaeological theories that kind of fell in with that later. Like Watkins was never formally trained in archaeology. He was just kind of, which I found kind of interesting, that is that archaeology was kind of just like a hobby for the longest time. Like there weren't really, you know, in the 1800s and like leading up to like the early 1900s, like a lot of people were archaeologists, were just people who would go out there and just kind of dig stuff up.
Found the mound and started digging.
Fucking, like, yeah. Cool. History teachers with fucking hats and whips that would go out on the weekend and bring things back to museums where they belong.
Right, exactly.
A pick and a toothbrush and see what they could find.
Yeah. but yeah, this is, a lot of them didn't have really formal training. Would just kind of go out there and, you know, make these connections and things. And for a long time, like a lot of Watkins' stuff was kind of written off as being like, okay, well, he was never really trained. He never really didn't really know what he was doing. But some of the stuff that he kind of hypothesized, I think one of them, he was talking about how these alignments, because they were up on top of these hills and places like this, that he kind of deduced that the British Isles were actually more forested. Like there was more forest there, and they were more covered with trees than they had been in the recent past, because And a lot of people were like, no, it's always been like this. It's always been kind of just like these couple patches of forests and things like this. But we've actually, you know, they've gone on to find evidence to support Watkinson's theory that there, no, like it was, there was a lot of forest. There was a lot more forest that existed there before than previously thought. So some of the stuff has kind of come back to be like, oh no, he's actually, some of the stuff he was talking right. about kind of has merit.
So way more heavily forested in ancient times. Or-
mm-hmm. So they, so then these would kind of support the idea that like, yeah, you got to get up on top of hills so you can see over the trees. But that was kind of his idea with going doing all this thing. But some of the stuff, like I said, it's some of the stuff that people thought about was kind of crazy before is now coming back and be like, well, no, maybe it's not that crazy.
Right. And I was also reading too. So like these ancient cultures of the area, like the British Isles and stuff, well before like Greek mathematics, now that they go back and like measure these ley lines and like the ancient site building there, they almost seem to have an understanding of like Pythagorean theory, you know, like triangle theory. So they say they like through these ley lines, not necessarily that they're like the spiritual version of them, just like, just as like a culture building straight lines and all these sites, they realize that these guys knew like Greek mathematics in some fashion before it was written in history.
Yeah, and some of the standing stones, like especially Stonehenge and other areas, like those were, it's hypothesized that some of these places and some of them have been observed to actually line up with certain celestial bodies, either during eclipses or solstices, you know, and equinoxes. Some of these all kind of line up with these ideas. So they did have, you know, ancient cultures were a lot smarter than we give them credit for now. But
well, and that was like highly debated for a long time that no one really gave them the credit, like these ancient civilizations for like, I can't remember right now, but it was like May 8th or something, this area, there's this ley line that runs right through the UK, our current UK. And on May 8th, that's the direction of the sun passing overhead.
Right. That's so what, like, yeah, that's one.
So now they've gone back and like, so some of these ley lines in this area, like in the modern United Kingdom, are actually astronomical in nature and like mathematical in nature. And they're not just like, they're not just trade routes, and they're not, they had actual significance to the people at the time. And when we, like no one really gave them credit for a lot of years, but now they've gone back and be like, oh, there is like.
Right. I think you're talking about St. Michael's alignment or whatever.
And it's like on that day, this ley line that's been discovered, like all these sites line up, boom, 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 whatever culture was there purposely built these sites along the path of the sun on that day.
And I just always wonder if somebody got just really bored and was like, just going to follow the sun. Just like, you know what? I'm gonna start walking. Like just a Forrest Gump, just like, got ahead, like, all right, here we go. And then I started running, you know, and just started following the sun. I just wonder if somebody just ever kind of did that.
It just, that kind of stuff is kind of mind boggling. It's like, yeah. So you built the first one, right? You wait till the next year, the sun goes over on the same angle. You build and you mark the next spot and the next spot. It would take a while.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, because we now know like chicken pizza, we went there and on the solstice, like the snake slithers down the staircase. That's like that's absolutely mind boggling. Some of that stuff.
Nuts.
Like they are purposeful.
But how many generations is it going to take to fucking complete that though?
What, you're off by 1 degree and the snake doesn't really go down the stairs. Like, no, nope. Start again.
It's like Slinky. You gotta
wait till next year. You got it wrong. Gotta wait till next year.
Torch it. This thing makes me sick. Get rid of it.
Yeah, so it kind of makes you think like some of these ley lines, like that's kind of where we're about to talk about next, like the resurgence in like, you know, the 60s of like more spiritual. Like these lines had like a purpose. They were energy lines and the ancients knew the direction and the crossing, and they purposely built a lot of these sacred sites.
And they build them for peace, man. That's it, man.
Peace and love.
Well, I mean, yeah, like Zell said, the 1960s were a kind of resurgence into the idea, the whole spiritual reawakening of Western culture.
Got some hippies getting really stoned.
It's called,
what about ley lines, man?
It's called LSD. Yeah. And it really opened up your mind.
Forever, man.
So yeah, you got the revival of ley line theory, which, you know, this one, once it when it popped back up in the 60s, it pretty much like completely changed the entire nature of the theory. Whereas Watkins and his original iteration of the idea had this a very utilitarian view of these ley lines and being like, okay, it was a way to get from one place to another. And then that theory was replaced with the more spiritual and esoteric idea that you had these lines of energy, that this is why people put things here, is because to take advantage of these lines of energy and the places where they intersect generate either some type of, there's tons of things.
All I'm seeing is a bunch of fucking PhD students in a basement sharing a joint being like, what about ley lines, man? We haven't talked about them forever, man. Come on.
I mean, it kind of pulled in
chakras,
a lot of
chakras, man.
It pulled in a lot of stuff from, very similar to, you know, the art of feng shui. Most people know that feng shui, the idea of moving. I think most people
move your coach, the center of your house.
You gotta get now the right
it's
room,
very much
right
like just
lamps.
About moving your rooms. But we talked about it before during our Chinese pyramid, like during the Chinese pyramids case file, talking about the different types of feng shui. At least there's two different, there's two different schools or two different categories of it. But, you know, back then in some points during the Chinese history, you were having places like you would base entire building complexes on these, on the principles put forth by the feng shui. So, you know, the way that you aligned your buildings with bodies of water, which were back then, they believed that these were the bodies of water were directed the flow of the universal chi energy. Like this kind of like the
bodies of water were like directed by the universal energy. Like they were
right.
Sprung out into existence, and they really, they regarded that. So you got to align your building this way to harness the universal chi. It'll
flow through you want your building to be as auspicious as possible. You want it to be, you know, everything to have good luck. You want everything. So we got to face our doors to this direction. If you're cooking food, like if this is a place that you're going to prepare food, you need to put your door on this side. Otherwise, like people are going to get sick. So I don't
know. Hey, you got, in those days, you got to do whatever you can because people got sick a lot.
Yeah.
And died.
And died a lot.
Easily.
All the time.
So anything you can do to increase your chances, even if you just believe it, like the mind's a powerful thing. You're like, all right, if we do this, we're going to be a little more healthy.
It ain't weird if it works. So, yeah. I mean,
absolutely. Even just the placebo boost, boys.
That's what I mean.
Huge.
Just like we did it. So like our chances are much better. We're good here.
So one of the biggest names in the kind of that can be attributed to the present theory of ley lines, and this is kind of now we're moving on to we're going to probably just refer to the ley line theory specifically as the spiritual one, is a guy named John Michel. So John Michel, in his 1967 book, The Flying Saucer Vision, Michel kind of promoted this idea that I think most of us are now familiar with, that you've heard about it somewhere, that he was a very big proponent of the ancient astronaut theory, and he made the connection and had the belief that these ley lines were actually being taken advantage of by extraterrestrials during our prehistory, when humans actually worshipped aliens as gods that came down here.
So the aliens knew the ley lines, the power grid of the world, were. So they built the pyramids on top of them to harness the energy.
Yes. So, I mean, it plays a big part in the pyramids are power plants, the whole thing.
What if they built the ley lines first to construct the pyramids?
Oh, they somehow manipulated like the magnetic energy of the planet or something?
Well, that's the biggest thing. The question that we always have is like, how the fuck did they create these megalithic structures when they didn't have the tools, Dan's gonna argue, humans were resourceful and we could have, but so many people are like, there's no fucking way we could have done this back then. So it's like they were able to harness some type of energy that we don't know about. And maybe that's how they were able to maybe that was the original reason for these ley lines, was to build shit like that.
That is actually a theory. Like the pyramids were built on these power points and they use these certain type of materials over an aquifer, and that the vibration of the aquifer against the base of the pyramid would resonate with the ley line, which would create, you know, some type of wireless energy that could be harnessed, and that's why there's the obelisks, and like so that theory goes on from that. There's like these places where these centers were built on these PowerPoints, the pyramids, the obelisks, and it was like a wireless power system.
Oh, so you tell me they had 5G all the way back then.
That was the OG.
OG 5G.
OG 5G.
That's how they're playing Pokemon Go.
And they're really vaporizing their brains with that stuff.
All right.
Yeah. So if you go with that theory, yes, like they had some type of our ancestors had access to and ways to manipulate or store and utilize this energy, as well as the extraterrestrials that were coming down to visit our planet. The UFOs, like some people would say that either if you want to go the global spanning civilization route, it's that, you know, these ley lines were used to power ships airships that were able to travel from city to city. This is why you get the certain cultures seem to have similar art styles or some type of building style that, you know, they shouldn't have. You have those things. Or the other idea that, you know, alien ships were using Earth as perhaps a kind of like a stop and go and coming over here,
like,
and
a refueling station.
Yeah, refueling station for their ships or their engines, you know, energy fields, whatever they use to travel throughout outer space. You know, they would come down here, manipulate the energies, land on top of the pyramids, charge up, and then take back off. So that's kind of the idea that was kind of put forward. So that all of that started in the 60s. So the ley lines is like that. This is a relatively new idea about having these ley lines being actually like having energy that can be manipulated or harnessed.
Right. So there's that theory, like the ETs might have done this. And then Michael's theory was it Michael? Mitchell?
Michelle. John Michelle.
His theory that the ETs, when humans became too materialistic or whatever, they would leave, and then humans of the ancient humans would use these centers to try and re-engage with the aliens, trying to like bring back the gods. So right. In that theory, it's like they would build these places in order, and that's why they were so grand and so like massive and so otherworldly, because they're trying to bring back the ETs who had left because we were too selfish and we liked shopping too much.
We do like shopping a lot. I got a problem. I get on Facebook Marketplace for hours.
This guy's selling fucking Lululemon pants on Facebook Marketplace every other
all
day.
All the time. I'm selling everything, man. Everything. And then I'm buying more. It's awful. It's a problem.
He's an addict.
I've had to put like child locks on my phone.
How many pairs of shoes do you got?
Online shopping. I'm not big on shoes.
No.
Stuff behind me.
Just action figures.
That's the problem. Oh, yeah. Action figures.
Collectibles. Comics,
all that type of shit. Metallica concert shirts. I just bought a Metallica Kill 'Em All fucking like from 82.
Original.
OG. Awful. Why?
Would it cost $200?
I don't fuck. 200. Oh, God. I wish.
Oh, no.
Well, I traded in a bunch of my other concert shirts. Okay. Like, I traded in like a Twisted Sister and a Huey Lewis and a Vanilla Ice shirt, so I, you know, wasn't too bad, but still.
Well, we'll go explore Andrew's
pissing one away.
We'll explore it in after hours. It's a materialistic addiction.
Yeah, problem.
But yeah, so you have you have this still the kind of idea that if you pull up a map of ley lines, like if you type it up into Google or wherever, you try to even find a book that has a representation or their kind of idea of where ley lines think. There's no standardized version of ley lines. I think it's very difficult to find that kind of this is the Ley Line Society official map of ley lines. I couldn't find one.
There is no official map. There's some that show honestly 10,000 intersecting lines. There's some that show only intersecting lines over like major structures around the world, primarily megalithic.
Yeah, and the megalithic structures, and they also, I've seen some that also connect mysterious locations. So even some that are purported to run through the Bermuda Triangle or the Dragon Triangle in the South China Sea or whatever, like any of these, any of those areas, even natural formations like Uluru and, you know, certain like Aborigine, you know, Ayers Rock and stuff like this, those are also attributed to be put on ley lines. So yeah, it's pretty much like any map that you can kind of pull up. If you can draw a line, like you can pretty much make a ley line. It seems like,
they don't
anyways.
Want you to have, dude, think about that. You had that map, you'd be the most powerful guy in the world.
That's true. That's right? true.
You can't. Yeah. That's just too much power for anybody.
That's true.
Absolute power corrupts all absolute.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear a theory, and I didn't have time to kind of go and follow it up, but it was, there's the idea that perhaps like even before World War II or during World War II, at least the United States military or the Western powers, militaries became aware of ley lines and how to take advantage of this energy or to be able to kind of utilize it in some manner or other. And apparently a number of military bases are built on ley lines or ley line nexuses.
Of course, because that's what the war was about. They're trying to hide the truth. They didn't want us to know about ley lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how they're powering the UFOs right now.
I'd say so. Seems legit.
So then you had, not only do you have this idea that kind of propagated during the 60s, but then you had this, there's an interesting little kind of schism that developed in the ley line community at one point, like in the early 80s. So, but we might want to take a break before we talk about that.
Sounds like a beer break to me. All right, we're going to take a short break, grab a beer. We'll be right back.
Look, you like Dan and you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
So one of the things I found fascinating about ley lines is you have this whole idea of it is the original like Earth mysteries. It is one of those ideas that is very integral to that kind of belief system that you have going on here. So on the one thing you have this idea that you have a very physical representation manifestation of these ley lines. Like they're visible, they exist. It's not something that for intents and purposes, it's just like it's not something that's kind of just out there. It's not like astral projection where you can't really see it. There's not really a way to verify it. You do know that these things do exist. You find there and a lot of these sacred sites and things are in places that nobody knows why they're there. Still very mysterious. But then you also have the idea that these are, in order to these, if you have the belief that these are energy sites, that there's some type of energy that is manifesting here, you know, whatever coalescing in these areas, it has to be measurable. It has to be something like it has to be able to be scientifically proven. You should be able to do that. So you had these two archaeologists in 1983, Tom Williamson and Liz Bellamy, who published a book called Ley Lines in Question. So both of them had an interest in ley lines. They were kind of part of like the whole ley line community. And they, you know, went in on a formal investigation of these, you know, looking for the evidence to support that, to support the beliefs that these ley lines really were some type of energy dispersion or entity field right. that was able to be measured. And so this book kind of like brought down the hammer on the entire kind of ley line community. And it kind of pretty much like, kind of gave it a good kind of crack right down the middle, because they kind of made the point or highlighted the point that, like we've been saying, the British landscape is so highly covered in all of these cultural sites, standing stones, you know, strange natural formations or out of the ordinary natural formation, all these things, that you could essentially draw a line. And it would be statistically unlikely that that straight line could be drawn through the British countryside without lining up with like three or more sites. Like it's almost impossible to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, like three or more, I would say. But we did talk about the one who has it has dozens.
And so this entire kind of thing drove kind of a wedge into the ley line community, where you had some people who, I found this thing, it's really interesting how this kind of shaped up, because they published this book and you had academics. These two were formerly trained archaeologists. The high academia, you know, formal academia, took really no notice. They said, like, wait, we don't really care. Like, we're not really interested in this, right? And then you had the people who were, you know, they can consider, you know, they're either colleagues or they're friends in the ley line community. You had that things. They hated Williamson and Bellamy. Like, they
were publishing, like,
overtly hostile to the whole
idea. So these are like the internet sleuths of ley lines.
You had people who were like staunch proponents of the ley line theory, ley line spiritual energy theory. And then when they published this book saying that, well, these sites that you're lining up, like you can line up anything drawing these lines and being able to line up some of them. And, you know, so the entire ley line community, a lot of them were kind of like, some of them were on their side. So there was this little divide that kind of popped up between the ones that said like, no, we need to go out there and we need to go out there and study and find more evidence to support our theory on this. And then on the other side of that, you had the other group that were like, you know what? We don't need proof. We believe that it's there and we feel it and we it's there. We don't need
it. It's called having faith, man.
Yeah. Well,
this kind of goes with that. Like, what's it called that humans can find patterns in anything? It's like
Are you talking about pareidolia?
That's like, no, it's not apo. I'm quick. I know there's a word for it.
Right. I know what you're talking about.
Apophenia.
Right.
Apophenia. Right. Like humans can find patterns in anything. So like in support of these people debunking the ley lines, they're like, hey, you can draw a line and you're going to dissect this and intersect that. And then you can take the angles of that and you can find meaning in this and this and this. Yes. I mean, there's no denying that you can do that. You could go downtown in any city, connect all the bars with lines on connect the lines, find the angles. You can find meaning in this shit. Yeah. But the difference is when I think about it, like the difference is, yes, you can connect patterns and lines and make diagrams and make deductions on pretty much anything. different types of trees in the forest. Like certain trees grow in certain parts of the forest. You can make a line and be like, okay, that must, there's lots you can do. But with like ancient sites, those are what's like left over from an age gone by, like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, whatever the thousands of years. So it's not quite, in my opinion, not quite the same as like, yeah, you can find patterns and everything. But in like these old things, it's like, okay, they've survived the test of time that, and they're still in this line. It makes you think like, okay, well they, the, some of these, I'm not saying all, you would be foolish to say like every, there's the fucking lines connecting every mythical site across the world and they all mean something. But as we talked about like the May 8th thing, like there is, it seems like there is like some ancient sites that were purposely built and they have astronomical alignment. So it's like, I know what these people are saying. Like, yeah, you could find the pattern in anything. And the, therefore your ley line theory is bogus. We can't find the energy. So scientifically, like, obviously that's like, yeah, that could definitely happen. But when you like take into consideration that these sites are so old and some of them seem to be built astronomically, it kind of like, it's gotta be, there gotta be a, like, there's a sliver, a grain of truth in there. It seems like just a little bit. There's something in there. Just a bit.
Gotta be.
Yeah. And I mean, if anything, like I said before, or like Andrew kind of said before, like this is, I do appreciate the thought or the sentiment behind ley lines of being like, okay, you want people to get out and you want people to appreciate these sites that have been here for thousands of years. I thought one of the areas that they found or is associated with ley lines is this really kind of neat place called Silbury Hill, which is, I guess people have said is the quintessential, it's named the quintessential example of the ancient British mound. And this thing is huge. It's similar in height. It's 129 feet high, and it has a similar volume to the Egyptian pyramids. And it was built around, I think they've dated it to around maybe 2400 BC is when it was built.
That's a lot of volume in that fucking mound.
And they have no idea what it was built for. There's a number of contending theories for what it is, but they have no real evidence. There's no burial artifacts about using it. So even if they say it's a tomb or a burial mound, there's nothing there. There's nothing to signify or, you know, lend evidence to that theory, right, that this was built for somebody.
It's significant enough for Peter Gabriel to sing a song about it, so it's got to be pretty famous, right?
It is part of the like the Stonehenge, like Avebury. UNESCO World Heritage Site. So it is, I mean, it is important. It is one of those, it is associated with that thing. And it is, when you look at it, I mean, some people, I mean, when you look at it now, it just looks like a weirdly shaped hill, like a weirdly uniform shaped hill. But there are other, you know, people who have studied this site. Some people say that it was a stepped pyramid at one point, like, and then the steps got filled in. So well,
it's when you look it up, it's, because we're like in the English countryside here, there's really no significant mounds. There's like rolling hills, some patches of forest, and then this thing towering out of nowhere for no reason. It's like fucking weird.
Yeah, it's a prehistoric artificial chalk mound. And it's just, nobody really knows why it was built and what it was put there for. It could have been a ceremonial site. It could have been, like we said, people kind of think it's like, well, you know, it's built, it's a burial mound. It looks like one of those, but they're like, but we can't find, nobody's buried there, well, to our knowledge.
I want to go back to the, like, why do they think it used to be perhaps maybe a stepped pyramid and then filled in? Have they like excavated a portion of it and found like the rock, like the steps?
That was one of the illustrations I saw. And then I didn't follow it up. It's just like, but they said that it probably had been like filled in at some point. Like now that you look at it and it's completely like, it's uniform.
Flat kinda, top like mount, I said. Yeah.
But they're saying at one point it might've actually been like a kind of stepped over pyramid. Not like a pyramid, but it's like, it was like a stepped something like able to get up there easier. And Watkins even commented on this, you know, the originator of the ley lines, like he said that this was one of the terminal points, which he referred to the points where the ley lines like began or ended. And this one might have been like an ancient settlement.
Egyptian.
Not that far.
It's Egyptian, man. Step pyramid.
Absolutely. Come on.
They spread out around the globe.
Hey, there's a There's a Stargate in fucking Iraq.
Well, it might have been. It might have been a ceremonial site
to England. Come
this
on,
this could be a Stargate under this mound. We don't know. No, yeah, no one's dug through it.
Yeah, totally.
Come on.
But yeah, he put this as one of those, you know, on the as an example of a terminal point. So it's like you could climb up on top of this thing, and people would make either a pilgrimage to this site. That's where you find, you know, certain kind of paths and whatever leading straight to that area. Or you could probably find lines of monuments or whatever leading up to that. So yeah, there are sites that are associated with ley lines that are mysterious and still have still will be for a long time, because I mean, I don't know how you would even go back to some of these when you have no idea what some of these things were built for. You don't have the intention of the builders to kind of go off of.
We don't have the technology anymore to utilize them.
Right.
Right. Come on.
Yeah. And it's like, you have tons of these places all over, you know, the British countryside that are just sitting there kind of for people to kind of go out and look for. And I think it's pretty neat. Like, I think it's really cool. Like, I mean, if you want to, the idea that anyone can be a ley line hunter, you know, you can go out there and find these things. All you really need is a map and a straight edge, essentially. You need a map.
And you can be a straight line track club member too, man.
Yeah, you can make your own
deal.
Get out there.
Listen, you want to pay $100 admission fee to the studio? I'll show you a ley line. No problem.
Right here. Let's go.
Right here. But like talking about like these, the culture of like this area, like prehistory, right? Like stone, no one really, do they not really know who built Stonehenge? Isn't it like folklore, like fucking Merlin built it? Like
no. Oh, there's tons of stuff that lays around it, but there's a lot more because Stonehenge is probably one of the most studied, if famous, because it is the most studied place in the thing. I'm pretty sure, I mean, they found out, they're not 100% sure what it was originally built for.
No,
I think
that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
I remember reading it was like a Roman temple.
Not even as pre-Roman.
It says what's the period? Like Neolithic or something like that?
I'd have to look it up, but that's the last. I remember learning about the fact that it was possibly a Roman temple.
Like, that would be strange.
We don't know. That's the crazy thing. Like no one, like, was it Romans? Was it fucking King Arthur? Merlin? Like wizards?
I think recently they found where the stones were actually quarried. And then I think that was the most recent development.
Well, they found, the stones, like the, so those, what are they, the Sarsen stones, like the really big standing ones were quarried like hundreds of miles away. Pretty far away.
And and it's like, that's where they got them. How they got them there is still kind of like up for debate.
It says by the 17th century, theory emerged that Stonehenge was built as a Roman temple in honor of the sky god Callus.
But isn't like Stonehenge built well before Romans? Like well before?
Ancient. We're talking ancient ass Romans.
Super
talking
ancient.
Maybe fucking, hey. Romulus and Remus themselves.
We're fucking talking.
Okay.
Why would they go out to the middle of nowhere?
Because they went on a pilgrimage. All right. Yeah.
But that's
the god Callus.
The god Callus. There you go. That's what I mean. Like the theories of Stonehenge. Like no one really knows. No, like what was it? A burial site? Was it some type of pilgrimage?
That's
site?
Where Merlin is buried.
Fucking like Gandalf built it. I don't know, boys.
If
you crack open those Sarsen stones, that's where Merlin is. He's actually in. Yeah. He's encased like one of those fucking monks who encase themselves. Well,
I'm 100% sure that is from a movie somewhere.
We need him.
I'm 100% sure that is somewhere in there.
There's a movie where Merlin's in the Sarsen stones.
I guarantee it.
Oh, that's awesome.
We guarantee it.
Someone tell us what movie that is.
Wizard in the Stone. You didn't see it? It's fucking good.
Okay, I'm a Wizard in the Stone. I'm going to fucking, that's what I'm looking up first thing after tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think it's really brilliant how much interesting folklore is associated with a lot of these places that you have these things. One of the other ones I found out was there's another place that's called the Queen Stone. And so there's the Queenstone, which is in the village of Simon's Yacht. And it has these, it's a really strange looking rock if you pull it up. And it's like, it has these really strange uniform grooves that are carved into the exterior. And this is one of the stones that actually Watkins kind of marked as another kind of, as a point of interest in his ley line theory. But here, Watkins figured that perhaps that this was actually not just a marking stone or something like that, or like a ceremonial site, but it was essentially that this was utilized for human sacrifice.
Oh,
that these grooves were cut into the stone in order for wooden poles to be inserted to hold prisoners who were then to be sacrificed.
To make the ley lines more powerful.
Of course.
You know what though? That totally, like, what does that remind you of? That completely reminds me of that fucking, the Masonic line of death. The 33rd parallel.
Explain, explain more.
Yeah, no, like totally. Cause that's what they say. Like the Masonic line, which is the 33rd parallel. They've done like the math and basically with this line, there's like 9 or 10 different death rows that line up with this, right? There's one in Mississippi, Georgia, Carolina, or South Carolina, Pakistan, Iraq, Lebanon, and basically every single state that's in line with this 33rd parallel is for the death penalty, and every single country that also passes through it has the death penalty.
Really?
And they're saying like, this is what, like this is the Masonic line of death. And all those are basically just ritual sacrifices to make this line more powerful. And that's where they draw their strength from. So maybe this is, maybe the 33rd parallel is just a fucking ley line.
Oh shit. Okay. 33rd degree.
Well, because like like you said, Dan, there's like churches built on these ley lines and stuff like that too, right? So maybe that's where they got those ideas from too. Like maybe it was going to make them more.
That's another interesting point too. Some people kind of argued against the idea of being like, okay, so like Andrew mentioned, we have certain churches built there that are like medieval, Iron Age, or whatever, you know, not Neolithic churches. And people will kind of point to those as examples of kind of against the idea of the lanes. Like, no, these churches were built after the fact. But I think Watkins actually contended with that, being like, no. I think he had, what was the idea? It was like site evolution or something like that, where essentially you had, these sites were sacred before. They had significance. They had cultural significance before the churches were built there, and then the churches were built on top of those sites, and that's why you get a lot of these places.
They were built on top to stifle the energy, to hide it. They didn't want people using it, right? So they want people worshiping these false idols on these lines, and it takes away from the power.
Pulls the power away.
Yeah, like distracts you from it.
This power, that's what we're missing.
That's exactly what we're missing.
That's what we're missing in the world.
I couldn't agree more.
How do we reverse this?
Get rid of all the churches. I gotta go.
I get on board with that.
I gotta go.
Let's make some new churches.
Pretty.
Oh, they're pretty. Yeah, I get that too. But so would be nice. Renewable energy that doesn't go anywhere.
Every church is on a ley line.
Doesn't matter.
Every church is on a ley line. That's why they built the churches there. Because exactly.
We can't trust them. Get rid of them.
I mean, we'd have to check. We have to calibrate our ley line detectors.
That's true. We need the aliens to come back, tell us how to use them too.
We're way too materialistic right now. They're not coming back.
Boys, you need to crack open that fucking stone and wake Merlin up and be like, come on, bud, how do we use these things? Wake up.
That's true.
The prophecy shall come true that one day Merlin will be cracked from his stone casing. And he alone shall save the world from death and misery.
I guarantee Excalibur was on a ley line.
Beautiful. Did you read that off like fucking some type of like?
No, that's a real thing. That's the real.
Was that an Aramaic?
That's like.
That was fucking fantastic.
That's the lost chapter of Revelations, actually.
Wow. Merlin's going to show up.
There's only a few people in the world that have it. I got one in the studio. If you want to see it, you got to pay though.
Well, you were there when it was written, weren't you?
I wrote it.
Oh, you're right.
All right, where were we? I fucking
lost it. Thrills. It's gone.
It's so you have these others that we mentioned Saint Michael's before, the Saint Michael's line, which runs all the way across and seems to follow the sun across the British thing. But where it begins, I believe, is a place that is a bit of interesting piece of folklore is you have this place called St. Michael's Island, or St. Michael's Mount, which is a tidal island that lies just in Mounts Bay off the coast of Cornwall. And this place
is... when you say tidal island, like it only shows up at low tide or something? Like
right. Well, you can only really access it by land at like low tide.
Right.
And then when high tide comes back up and then it's there. But actually this place is where you have the legend of Jack the Giant Killer come from.
Really?
That this island is associated with a giant named Cormoran. And
dope. Quite fucking CB Strike. Fucking Robert Galbraith. I got all those fucking books. Cormoran Strike. Fucking, that's who he's named after. It's a great book.
Read them. Yeah, so Cormoran was apparently this hideous giant who had it's described as having like at least like a single eye. It's essentially a cyclops.
Cyclops, yeah.
And he had six fingers and six toes on each of his appendages. He terrorized the countryside around that area, apparently. And there's one or two stories. He was slain by Jack the Giant Killer after, you know, the people had enough of his shit and they sent their assassin after him. But there's also a story that I came across in another book. It's like another kind of local legends or whatever, that there was a king. There was actually a king from one of the villages or one of the cities that actually was like a sorcerer. And actually used magic to like fuck over Cormoran, basically like attach him to a stone, like bind him to a stone and to keep him away from stealing cattle and livestock and things this king. And, it, you know, I don't, to me, this sounds like a very much like a Merlin kind of thing. This guy went out apparently on a pilgrimage, like the king went around, learned all these esoteric sorcerous secrets and then came back and like kicked the shit out of this giant essentially. And like it was a weird little story I came across. It was only in one book. I didn't see it kind of in a couple other ones, but the most popular one is the Jack the Giant Killer legend. That's where it comes from. So you have a number of things associated with these ley lines, not only just fairies and perhaps fey folk, but you also have giants and all these things. And it's just an interesting little piece of tidbit. A folklore.
The ley lines almost encompass all the things we talk about. Aliens, giants, cryptids.
I don't know. You can't draw a line anywhere without hitting a couple cryptids and a couple megalithic structures, I think. Everywhere has its own cryptid. So, you could probably draw a line anywhere and find a whole bunch of them. But we mentioned about it earlier, like right at the beginning of the episode, you were talking about how other cultures have their own kind of versions of these. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just ley lines, like ley lines, like specifically, like those ones are very uniquely, to me, are very uniquely British.
British,
like they're very like UK, that's what they are. And it's kind of, I think that's something they can own and it's kind of neat. But other cultures have their own kind of versions of these. You think you have the Quechuan speaking cultures of South America, where they have what is called a huaca. And like a huaca, yeah, it's just like a huaca. And a huaca is like a revered site. It could be an object, could be a monument of some kind or anything like that. But then they would say that these huacas would have to be built along a processional or ceremonial line or route. Mm. And then these would be built for, it would be built as a kind of, along like a sacred ritual, like along with a sacred ritual, they would take advantage of these things. So these were referred to as sekes. Sekes? What
is the word? Sekes!
Good for me.
And then you mentioned the Aborigines. The Aborigines have their own version of it called song lines, which I found extremely fascinating piece of cultural thing that phenomenon that they have, that these song lines are essentially, they are exactly kind of what the name implies, is that the Aborigines actually used, like, because they are a big, you know, oral tradition is a huge part mm-hmm. of their culture. They used actual songs to navigate. Like they actually use them to, in order to traverse like the interior deserts of Australia, they would essentially like write entire songs that would mark out landscape and like landmarkers so that they could go through these areas and not get lost.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Super cool.
So it's like some of these, and then like a lot of these songs, like they incorporate celestial bodies, certain star constellations, stars, things like this, natural formations and things like this. So you'd sing a whole song so you can see. I would imagine these songs would be like days long. You'd just be singing this whole song while you're like walking.
Yeah, full stairway, we're talking. We go full stairway.
Full stairway, yeah.
All the and way, I got an Iron Butterfly, just like, and I got a Vita all the way.
But yeah, like a lot. So like, So a lot of these cultures, not just the ley lines, but around the world, a lot of them are lined up like through cosmology, like almost like
you're just walking through the Australian desert, so like air guitaring for like 12 hours. Like, there's a big rock over there. When you hit the valley on the left, take a right. Take a rock on the left.
That's what I mean, though. So like they would say like, they would start their line from the rising of this like stellar object, like from this star or the sun or the moon on this day. Like, so they're not just random. And so if you want to say like, okay, the ley lines, okay, you can just, there's so many places through the, you know, modern day UK, you can draw a line, boom, boom, you hit all these things, ley line, sure. But some of these cultures, like it's now like proven, like they were astronomical, like in nature, like on the rising of the sun, or the when this star peaks over the horizon on this day, this line leads this way, and that's the, like in the city of Cusco in Peru, there's like this sacred like line through the city, and it's like, so these people knew, like to them, these lines had energy. Whether you can prove it scientifically or not, like to the cultures of the time, whoever came up with them, to them it was powerful.
Well, some people claim that they can still find them. And those people would be big on the technique of dowsing.
I've seen it firsthand. It works. And for those of you who don't know, dowsing is, you've probably seen a documentary with the guy with the two sticks, or the girl right. with the two sticks.
There's a number of techniques. I don't think there's any really standard one. I think different areas and different people kind of use different things. I know
different material of sticks and
right. Yeah. If you look it up, you usually see two people like it's two metal rods that are kind of bent at 90 degrees, and they hold them.
They got that little stick in the middle, and they fucking bounce it around like they did in the 90s.
The devil sticks.
The devil sticks.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
That's how you find the water. Yeah, wherever the devil stick falls is where the water lies. Everyone Absolutely. Knows. This.
But yeah, there's also some people that say like, oh no, you can only use like a cherry wood stick that's in the shape of a Y or something. Like there's,
well, they call it, so it's like, it's dowsing, or they call it like, what they call like witching or something.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like another term is like witching. So that's
or whatever.
So yeah. So two 90 degree rods of some type of material, usually metal, but sometimes wood. It varies widely. And so these sticks, you're supposed to hold them loosely in your hand. And so they're meant for finding underground aquifers, like water underground.
Or anything. I've heard you can use them for water. You can use them for gold. You can use them for, people say, diamonds, anything.
But for the most part, they're used for water.
You've seen them used for water.
I think for the most part, they're used for water. Like they are, because that was whatever you believe before we had modern technology, water was key to survival, especially like you had a ranch or like anything before you had pumps and electricity. So the people walk around, so you're trying to build a homestead. You want to build your house over the well, or the well close enough. So they walk around, and as you get close to the aquifer, the sticks will cross. And where they cross is where water flows, or there's like a reservoir of something. And that's it. There's really no, they don't know, can't really tell you how it works, but I'm just going to give a personal experience. I'm not going to, you can make up your own decision. We were building a house outside Upper Glen in Glen Rosa. There's no water. So it's like a little rural community in Kelowna here. No water. So they need a well. So this one guy, the guy who's building the house, he knew a guy who could do this. So he said, so he brought him out, and he fucking got out his sticks. I never like picked up the sticks, so I'm not sure what they're made of. They looked like metal. Could have been. So I'm gonna say they're metal sticks. He came out. He walked around the property. He trucked slowly over this one spot, and the And they crossed, and he goes, drill here. And we're like,
no,
we're
way.
Like,
fuck we're, off. No, really?
We're, that's what my, we're like, no, whatever. So we get the engineer out. He brings his like little fucking device, which like fucking shoots radar into the ground. It can tell if there's a void, like he, whatever the device, I can't remember what it was, but he's like, yeah, here. Sure enough, this motherfucker.
Really?
Was right there.
That's fucking crazy. I'm not,
that's all I can say is I witnessed it. He did it. And we're like, we didn't believe him. So we got the engineer. He came out. He's like, yeah, I'll drill here. Like it's a 25 feet down. There's an aquifer. Like you should have good flow for a homestead up here. Like, because he wanted to have like a little ranch, the house and like a barn for cattle. And sure enough, the guy was, he was on it. But there's no way to prove it. Because we were getting a little bit of argument before. You could look at, say you're like, you're just well-versed in how, you know, because water flows downhill, water's going to pool in a valley, same underground as on above ground. So if you're just really good with it, maybe the sticks kind of lead you in the right direction or maybe the snow, but whatever it is, this guy that I seen, he marked the X and the engineer marked the X on the same spot. They drilled and they had enough water for a full ranch. That's all I know. Wild, that's all man. I can say. That's all I can say about it. It's the only thing I've ever seen about it, and that's it. But it was pretty crazy. It was pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's tons of videos on the internet. I know I saw only recently, there was a video of a Ukrainian soldier doing it, like in the trenches, like dowsing for water and found water, like in the trenches. Just like he had the little sticks out and walking through the trenches, and then been like, he's like, right here, dig right here, and then they started digging, like clean water. Clean, clear water coming up out of the ground. Like, it is an interesting little piece of thing. It has been tested in certain scenarios. Like, it has been tested. I watched another video from it's either the BBC or the Smithsonian. I can't remember. They did like a double blind study, and they had people come in who claimed to be experienced dowsers. It didn't turn out exactly as they kind of.
Maybe it is magic, and maybe it only manifests when you really need it. And they're doing it for the wrong reasons,
right?
So the ley lines are like, I just remember give this guy water.
I just one part stuck out to me when they told one of the participants. They told him that he only got out of the six tries that they did. He only got 10 tries. They said he only got two. He only got two correct. Essentially what it was is they took a number of plastic bins. They filled ones with sand, and then they put one, like they had water in one. I think it was a bottle of water. They had like a bottle of water in one, and then they had them go out with their dowsing sticks. And then you would essentially just try to, you know, they would mark which one they believed that the dowsing sticks marked and whatever. When they got out there, they told them like, hey, you didn't find that. And you got like two right, but really, like, we had people who had no idea what they were doing, and they also found two, or you weren't successful at all. The one guy was kind of like, he believed that his dowsing ability came from God. And he
divine.
Said, divine, you know, he's like, specifically, he's like, you know, it's God. It comes from God. This is what happens. And they told him like, well, you know, you didn't do that great, whatever. And he's like, oh, well, God's just having laugh. You know, he just loves a good joke.
He's fucking with them.
And oh, man, that's what he said. So
you could say that about a lot of things God does.
Man, God's been having a serious laugh for the last 34 years of my existence. Yeah,
he's been laughing, chuckling. Yeah.
But it is interesting. Like it is. I mean, I saw the video of the Ukraine, and it's been around for generations. It's been around for hundreds of years. This dowsing technique, and whether it is something, it is magic, or it is tapping into those mysterious earth energies, or if it's just something like Zell is kind of saying about, like, maybe it's just something subconscious, like somebody who has experience with like the lay of the land, and they use the sticks just to kind of like focus their attention or focus their perception on like what they are, and it just helps them kind of being like, okay, this is where the land is, this is a likely spot for it to be. For water to be, maybe it's just something like that, which is, I mean, it's still pretty neat if people can do it consistently. I don't think I've seen anything. I tried to look up like if there's like a consistent somebody who's like 100% on, but of the experiments I saw two where people were kind of like money was on the line and didn't do good.
Well, there's also Danny also posted that like short documentary about not finding water, but like at the stone circles in England.
Right.
As they came with the dowsing sticks towards the circle.
Right.
So he had like the experienced guy, I can't remember his name, and he gave it like to the host of the show. He's like, just hold him like this and walk towards, and they cross.
Right, they're at the roll right stones, I believe.
Yeah, like a stone circle there.
Yeah.
So whatever, yeah, like water, they used it before, but yeah, you said like other energies, either it be like diamonds or minerals or these rocks give off some type of energy that seems, when you get close, across the sticks. And the host was like, he was taken back nonetheless. He was like, because he walked and he had the sticks crossed and he walked away and the sticks went away. But I tried to look up like, what would cause them to cross? Because I know like there's the two types of magnetism, right?
Well, I think it kind of depends on which ones they're using, because they're using the ones that have like the, I think it's like the rod is like in like a little, I don't know, it's like a holder and it's not, it's, so it kind of moves on its own, like it kind of moves of like whatever, like
it's like a wood like holder with the rod inside.
Yeah. Those are the ones that can make me a little bit more suspicious of it. Like the ones that aren't, like if you're holding the just 90 degree rods, just straight solid rods,
you could,
that seems kind of interesting. But the ones that have that's like they're extremely sensitive, and you're just holding them, like if you step forward, like that, like momentum itself will like push those things. Cause as soon as he grabbed those things, like, and he stepped forward, they move back. Like that. Just like pushing them, and then they would come back, and then when he stepped back, it would go out. Like I think it was just kind of that. It's just too many variables those ones. If it were I'd rather see it done with just the solid rods.
Yeah, I looked into it. Like there's the two magnetisms, right? There's like, was it fucking paramagnetic and diamagnetic? And everything that we know of is diamagnetic. So if you like put a magnet to like a toothpick, there's like a very slight magnetic force which will turn the toothpick sideways. So some people are like saying like, oh, maybe it's some type of like diamagnetism that these sticks do. And the running aquifer under the ground produces some very, very slight magnetic force. And you're like, that didn't make sense to me. It's like, well, why are they crossing? Shouldn't they go like away from it? So like I looked into it. I was like, well, what's going on here? And there was no sound theory of why they cross. Yeah. All I'm telling you is I watched a motherfucker do it and the engineer marked the same X and I can't explain it.
Crazy.
I can't explain it. And that's, I'm going to live for the rest of my life saying it works. And that's it. 100%. That's all I need to know about it, because I've seen it happen and they fucking found a well.
If any of you listeners know people out there who are professional dowsers, give us a call.
Dan, didn't you say there's a six figure prize if you can prove it?
Yeah, there is a six figure prize. There is like a nonprofit organization, like it's the Center for Scientific Inquiry or something like that. $250,000 on the line if you can prove that you 100% dowsing is 100%. They tested one guy dowsing. It was the kind of the same experiment that I explained before, kind of the double blind whatever. Same kind of experiment as that one, but they're happy to work with you on designing an experiment. If anybody knows anybody who knows some dowsing, you maybe can get cash money. It's online.
And it's super cool. one more thing I wanted to touch on, because I did come across it while I'm looking about talking about ley lines and like energy grid of the world. Because like if we're talking about like an energy grid where like energy radiates either from the sky or from the earth through these points, it should be measurable, and they can't seem to really measure a significant change. But then I came across this one thing saying, oh, it's something to do with the ionosphere. Because the ionosphere holds like a, you know, like almost limitless potential energy. You just can't really harness it. It's just kind of up there. Like it radiates all these fucking ionized particles. And like, if you could somehow tap into it, which if you go like back to the work of like Tesla and stuff, he was like trying to do it. Like that was his goal, is like to radiate pretty much limit like free energy from the ionosphere kind of stuff. So then some people are trying to make the connection like, okay, the ionosphere actually radiates through these points and that's what gives it the power, but it can't. Like it doesn't radiate, it's limitless potential energy. You just can't draw it down. Like you would need like a massive device to draw the energy downwards to like make a current to make energy. So that was the one thing I was like, if there is energy points, where's it coming from? Is it magnetism from the Earth's core that's shooting up through this in these certain places? Or is it like pulling energy from the ionosphere down through these places and somehow the ancients knew where to build it? And there's, have you ever looked into the magnetism affecting like crop growth, like seed germination?
I've seen that, yeah.
So, I mean, they've done studies and it seems to maybe work, but maybe not. So also what works is temperature control in a greenhouse will do similar effects. Because we've talked about with crop circles, it seems like the crops in and around the crop circle after this like event seem to grow at like accelerated rate.
So yeah, in some cases, yeah.
In some cases. That. So that was the last thing I found, like maybe these, because they've talked about like maybe that some pyramids and stuff for like grain storage, and like they harness this magnetic energy to make the seeds germinate and grow taller and faster and feed more people. That was the last theory I could come up with. It's just when they go to the sites that they're like, these are the ley lines, the power grids, the intersecting points. They can't seem to like measure it. So maybe we just don't have the tools and the ancients knew something we didn't. Or like, I don't know. I try to go on all theories, like where's the energy coming from and what would have been the purpose, right? There's obviously a massive purpose to building these huge structures like Great Pyramid and these mounds and Teotihuacan and all these crazy shit. So why in those points? I don't know. It's really cool though.
Yeah, it is a fascinating piece of like a little subculture and cultural significance for some of these areas. So I mean, anybody can go out there and find ley lines. Like the original definition, like the very strict definition, the Watkins definition of ley lines, finding these straight lines between monuments and stuff like that is pretty cool. I would suggest people go out there and, you know, find your own ley lines, get outdoors, you know, go hiking, find your own, take a buddy, you know, be safe. But
you never go into the woods alone. We know this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, take your dowsing sticks. Yeah,
come on.
Take your dowsing sticks.
Go get
sticks.
Laid. Do it.
Get laid.
Find your ley lines.
Get laid, baby.
Awesome. If you know something about ley lines that we completely fucking missed, make sure to message us on our socials. Go to alientheorist.com, find all the links there. We'd love to hear from you because, I mean, we got a week to look into this stuff. So if you're one of those people that have spent the last 25 years looking into ley lines and we really fucked it up, we want to hear from you. Who do we got this week for Theorite of the Week?
I specifically put in the group because I can't read that last name. I butchered it. So I was like, one of you guys take the fucking reins on this one.
Chris Kemmerly?
Oh, no. Yeah, never mind. Different. Audible last time. Yeah, Chris Kemmerly.
Blue 42, Chris Kemmerly, Theorite of the Week.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and OG Theorite of the Week too. This guy's
been around.
This guy's been, he's been putting out gold for a long time. He's the fucking illustrator of the Mongoose Files shirt. Amazing. Well, this week he dropped a fucking hilarious meme. Very Stranger Things, fucking Climb the Hill inspired. It's pretty good.
What's that noise?
I don't know. I thought it was my headphones.
Guys all, you got, I didn't guys hear all cut anything, out for a second.
So. That's some weird buzzing.
Really? I didn't hear it at all, so I'm assuming maybe it was me.
That ley line.
Stranger Things inspired meme. Yeah, it's the fucking ley line interfering with our
ley line nexus acting up.
Stranger Things inspired meme, what it's like to be like captivated when you listen to ATT. Eyes roll back, the headphones go on, turn on ATT, you turn into a vampire and you fly away.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, Chris Kemmerly. Yeah,
that sums it up pretty well.
Pretty much.
Well, Zell has found a way to leach your blood through your headphones. It's just the newest technology. It's a new technology. Zeltron.
And I use this ley line that runs right through the studio to do it.
Yeah, it's keeping them young.
Vampires have evolved from drinking blood to suck in your just spiritual energy. That's what we've done here.
We're in the digital age. Yeah.
Anyways, Chris Kemmerly, Theory of the Week, longtime OG, an OGP, actually.
Huge OG. Guy's awesome.
Absolute beauty. We'll have to commission you for some new art here sometime pretty quick.
That reminds me to commission for that new art because after popular demand, people are just clamoring for the new Sharp Tarps. Well, the new Sharp Tarps are coming, dropping July 1st. We got our new website. We're changing things up,
though.
It's this. Yeah, I'm kind of excited for this one. With the new website, we're going to get, there's going to be a bunch of different styles of shirts. Like you get the Braden inspired crop top. right? I'm sure he's going to have some booty shorts in there too.
Yeah, the booty short combo.
Hey, if you want to bring back V-necks, you can try. I mean, I don't know if they're going to stick, but you can try. Get yourself an ATT-inspired V-neck. We're going to be doing hats. So if you want to look sweet like Dan, we can get a Dan hat. But the new thing, which is going to be cool, is there's going to be limited runs of designs, which I'm kind of excited for. So there's going to be designs that are only up for certain months. There's going to be styles that you can only get for that month. So it's going to be pretty cool. And this new store starts on July 1st. So we're looking forward to bringing you guys kind of like a better product. Hopefully something that just doesn't disappear after you wash it three times.
Yeah, it's actually, we've moved on from our old friends there at Tee Public. Got a new company. It's actually screen printed and
better quality.
The price is the same. Everyone wins in this situation. And you can get some Dan hats. Everyone was asking, how can I get fucking Dan's hat? And we couldn't get them because those are custom made. But now, through this new store, we got Dan hats, limited runs. It's going to be really funny. Alientheorist.com will have all the links July 1st. So when this podcast goes out, you only have to wait a couple of days and you can check them on out.
Yeah, you're going to be hiding your hairline in no time.
Boom.
We got you. Don't worry about it.
Full array of hairline. You can tell everybody. Products.
You can announce to the world that you're a weirdo just like us.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And if you're not supporting the show already and you want early access to the case files, all the bonus stuff, after hours, the Discord, and you want to support your favorite podcast, we really appreciate it. Actually, one person supporting the show is equivalent to like 1,000 people listening for free. So if you're one of those absolute beauties supporting the show, we salute you.
We love you.
And this, well, we love everyone, but we love the people who support the show.
We love them more. They're like the firstborn. Just love me everyone.
Everyone loves the firstborn.
Oh, we don't play favorites, but you're our favorite.
You're our favorite. By a lot. Absolutely. Anyways, this week's newest supporters, we got Bones, Ron Pond 360.
Nice.
He's really had a life turn, and then he turned around again. Michael Fletcher with a full year pledge.
Right on.
Captain Specificity goes up to another full year pledge. Legend.
Big digging. Yeah.
Lewis Robert Custodero III. The third. You know he's a fucking beauty if he's the third.
Wow.
Caitlin Johnson. Tyler Trevette. Kyler Larson with a full year pledge.
Right on.
Sir Frothington. Great name. Sir Frothington.
Savannah.
And last but not least, we got Kurt. Just Kurt. It's K-U-R-T.
All right, Kurt.
Beauty, Kurt. Thank you very much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. See you in After Hours.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.